All right, Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is right, what is just and right, and in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name which will be called the Lord of our righteous Savior. Randy?
Thank you so much for those words. Great words. Well, as Sophia already introduced so well, the Advent theme this year is Freedom Bound. And I would invite us to think about what those two words mean individually first. And I also want to just point us over here to this visual as well, which Lori so well put together in this painting by Velma. But this Advent theme is inviting us over the next 5 weeks to hold together two things at the same time. In some sense, a paradox of holding two things together, in that on the one hand, we acknowledge the chains that bound us, that we experience every day in our own personal lives, in our community, and in our world. The sin that bounds us each day, the injustices of those around us that don't have enough to eat or do not have housing security, or when we think globally, the violence around the world. These are the chains that bound us, and we feel that brokenness. And yet, on the other hand, in this Advent season, we are expecting the Christ child into this world and into our lives. And this is the freedom that comes, that breaks these chains. We are on the road, on the journey towards freedom, while at the same time feeling bounded. And so this Advent season, we will be exploring Freedom Bound together. As I was thinking about a parallel that can try to name both at the same time, I actually am going to turn to a sports analogy, and in no way am I trying to put these at the same level, because they're clearly not. But so it was just Thanksgiving, and watched a lot of football. I don't know if you guys did, but it was a little bit of a hard day for Philadelphia, and it was also a hard day for Dallas. But when you think about Philadelphia sports right now, I don't know how many of us here are fans of Philadelphia sports. I know Matthias is. We are in a hard season right now, and the 76ers just about embody that better than anyone. They just set a new, basically, it's the record that nobody wants. It's the most consecutive losses by any professional sports team. It's really bad. And so you look at Philadelphia sports, and they're just not good. But here's the paradox. On the one hand, they're just terrible. But on the other hand, they're rebuilding. If you look at the Sixers, they have a strategy of bringing in all these young prospects who are going to need years to develop. And basically, everybody knows the 76ers will not be good for at least 2 to 3, maybe 4 years. But the strategy is you bring in a lot of young draft picks, and you know you're going to be terrible, but then in about 4 years, you might be really good. And so it's that paradox of kind of wanting to acknowledging just how bad it is and then looking to the future. Now, I understand that to make a parallel between Philadelphia sports and this Advent season is can be a little bit ridiculous, but that's what I was thinking of as the Eagles were losing badly on Thanksgiving while eating turkey this Advent season. I'm not sure when the new life is coming for the Eagles yet, but we'll see. So the text that Matthias read for us is out of Jeremiah 33:14-16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord. When we think about being bounded and in chains, we realize quickly that this is the very same context that Jeremiah is writing in. So it is difficult days for Jeremiah and the people of Israel. And yet, here in the midst of such brokenness and darkness and exile, these are words of hope, words of freedom coming, words of salvation. See, Jerusalem has been completely devastated in the Babylonian invasion, which happened in 587 BC. These inhabitants of Israel have been literally scattered from their homeland, living in places that is not their home, a conquered people. And if we want to try to think of what that would be like today, it's not hard to think about it, because there's a major refugee crisis happening right now around the world, where Syrians and other folks whose home has been completely devastated through war are a people now without a home. And this is the context that Jeremiah is writing in, almost 2,500, over 2,500 years ago. For these people living in exile, their way of life has been completely overturned, upside down. Their sense of security has been violated. They have no idea if they will live to see their home again. And so then this leads to a theological question, which today the word that we call this is called theodicy. Why would a loving God cause these bad things to happen to us? Where is God at in the midst of this? And why did such devastation happen? Is God still our God? And will God ever let us return to our home? And so the people of Israel, at this very time that Jeremiah is writing, live in this gap between the reality of not being in their home, of being a people of exile, and then, on the other hand, these words of Jeremiah that God will restore righteousness and justice to them. We can get a picture a little bit of what this is like for the people of Israel by reading some of the Psalms as well. And one Psalm that kind of names this is in Psalm 137, 1 and 4, and I'll read that. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we wept when we remembered Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" If you think about the own brokenness that we feel in our own land, maybe it's in our own personal lives or in our families, we want to retreat from that fast because it's not comfortable. We want to jump right to Christmas. This isn't the fun place to stay in. And yet, that's what Advent is. You can't jump straight to Christmas. We have to live in the broken places, in our own places of sin that can bind us. And so all of us can probably think of different places in our own lives. I want to take just a little bit here to think about a place in our own history that isn't always the funnest thing to remember. But yet, it's in these places of remembering the broken places in our own history that I believe God can bring more healing and freedom. And so I would invite us to think about just what we celebrated here on Thursday, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, when we give thanks to God for all that we are thankful for, our families, for God's love, for the homes that we have, for the freedoms that we have in this land. And yet that's where I feel like we have to acknowledge some of our broken history, even as we sit around the table enjoying turkey. Because our history points us quickly to places where our freedom came at a cost to others. The cost of Aboriginals and Native Americans in both Canada and the United States, who, with the arrival of European immigrants, some of them our own ancestors in the Anabaptist family, stole land, caused suffering, death, and forced resettlement. This is part of our story and history. As a people of Mennonites coming from Europe, we live with a history of being bound with our own land. I would invite you to sometime go to the Hans Herr House in Lancaster. And I think they're doing something so important and good there, in that they're honoring the Native Americans that occupied the land that the Hans Herr House is built on before the European immigrants came. They're giving their voice to the Native American story. They're acknowledging that everything didn't just happen nice and great relationships all the time. Yes, there are stories of good relationships with Mennonites and Native Americans. But there's also stories where there is brokenness. And so how do we as a people confess that as we're sitting around the table eating turkey on Thanksgiving? And then I think about right now and the irony that we're living in with refugees who need a home. Refugees fleeing violence. Some of it caused by the very practices of the country we live in. And the irony that there would be this spirit of fear that if we welcome the refugees, that terrorism will enter the land. And when in fact, really the only time when refugees actually caused terror was the holiday that we just celebrated, when refugees from Europe came and terrorized Native Americans. We have to live with that history and that story that we're a part of, while at the same time knowing that we are freedom bound too, that we are a people that are looking to reconcile, to ask for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Jeremiah offers a vision of a new reality. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. What a daring proclamation to make, even in the midst of exile. Can you imagine what those words would hear like? Would you believe them if you were not in your homeland and Jeremiah proclaimed those words to you? Jeremiah insists that God's promises are certain. Jeremiah imagines a reality that is not seen yet. The restoration of Israel. The practice of justice and righteousness. Flourishing of life in the land that God has promised. Yet Jeremiah doesn't paint this utopian picture where all of a sudden everything's just going to be okay again. Indeed, empty promises would be of little comfort for the homeless, broken dreams and tarnished memories. Rather, what Jeremiah does here, this alternative reality, is grounded in a claim about God's faithfulness. That even in the hard times that will still be ahead, God will be faithful. It will be called, "The Lord is our righteousness," 33:16. Bridging this gap between the present reality of brokenness and the new alternative reality grows out of a confidence in God's righteousness. This promise both convicts the places of brokenness. Certainly Israel knew some of their own places of brokenness as they worshipped other gods. God's righteousness both convicts and makes new. And that is what Advent season invites us to do together. It invites us to name places of brokenness and to be convicted and to not run from it. And it also invites us to look for the new. This tension that we live in, that is so at odds, this wide gap that we sometimes feel. And yet the promise of Advent is that the Lord is our righteousness. I saw a picture of the Lord's righteousness and justice and freedom at Mennonite World Conference. When, as the global church of Anabaptists came and celebrated together at Harrisburg, what was the first thing that was acknowledged? The Native American story. The first thing that was acknowledged was giving space as we gathered for Native American leaders in this area to march down the aisle in Harrisburg with the drum beat. And then there was space given for them to share, and they actually greeted us. "Welcome to Pennsylvania. This land is our ancestors way before you ever got here." And there is a lot of brokenness, but we're going to forgive you. That was powerful for me. They showed place of forgiveness and reconciliation and freedom. What better way this Advent season to welcome the Savior of the world, the one who brings freedom, righteousness, and justice? What better way to prepare ourselves for the coming of this King than to first get on our knees and acknowledge places that we have failed? To use the spiritual practice of confession. We are freedom bound and we feel the chains. And so as we go into this time of silence, during Advent here, we're going to use silence right after the sermon. In this time of silence with soft music playing, I'd invite us to think about where you feel bound. We want to jump straight to Christmas and the freedom, but right now, let's just acknowledge places where we feel bound. I'll read again words from Jeremiah. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord,
when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. God, we thank you for these words of hope, of freedom. We know that you are a God that executes justice and freedom. God, your words convict us and they bring freedom. And in this time now, we ask that you would reveal some places where we feel bound by the chains, whether it's in our own personal lives or in the systemic chains of violence around the world or poverty. Whatever it is, God, would you give us just space to sit with that while remembering your promises. We pray through Christ. Amen.